This won't end well for Illinois.
Here's a three. It ended well.
McCourt for the win. In the air. It is up. And it is gone.
Fourth and 16. Pressure comes. Emmanuel Bebe with the ball in the air. Makes the catch.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Oski Talk. My name is Anthony Pasquale with Patrick Catazone, and this is a very special 100th episode of Oski Talk. Patrick, good to be with you. Before we get into any basketball talk, what would you say has been your most memorable moment covering either the football or basketball team this season?
Yeah, I feel like covering-wise, it had to be the Tevion Jones getting back on the team. I feel like everyone at that press conference was really kind of like excited. It was one of those like, wow, this is the big time breaking news, and breaking news is always fun. So I think Tevion Jones is back on the team was probably the most fun I've had reporting.
For me, I think just covering this whole ride on the football team this season was really cool, but I think my favorite was the way I had to rewrite the game story for the Michigan State game. I was on my couch watching it in my room, and as they just started to come back, I was getting more and more confident that they were going to win. So I was writing my story that way, and then ultimately they did win that game, and publishing that one was really cool.
Yeah, that was a great game to watch, and you're lucky you got to to cover that one, because that's one for the memory books.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, Iota Samu is going to be all right, hopefully. Probably he'll miss a couple weeks. It's only speculation, but we know that.
Yeah, no structural damage.
No structural damage. I felt like the way he fell made it look like he was being smart about it. Like, he wasn't putting him, like when you look at the D. Rose thing, like, D. Rose fell on his leg, and you just saw, like, his leg become deformed for a couple seconds there.
Yeah.
This wasn't really the case, I feel like. He kind of protected his body a little bit more.
Yeah, it just looked weird. It looked like he first slipped and then stuck to the ground. Like, you don't usually see that. You usually see one or the other. But you also usually don't tear your ACL moving forward. So I think a lot of people knew it wasn't going to be ligament. I thought maybe he dislocated his knee or something.
That's what I thought, too.
Because just the way his knee moved just did not look right. But, excuse me, it also could have been just a hyperextension, which is hard to walk on right away as well. But nonetheless, great news that he's coming back. But let's just talk about that Michigan State game for a second. You're down 17 at half, 19 at some point early in the second half, and you're able to will your way to that comeback, get the lead twice or three times in the last couple of minutes, have the lead with 10 seconds left, ultimately lose that game, but what a fight from those Illini.
Yeah, they put in a lot of fight. It was Miami game part two.
We got
down too early to come back at the end. I think maybe if Iowa doesn't slip, we probably win that game.
Probably. I think if Georgie doesn't stink, we probably win that game.
Something's up with Georgie. You can't really put him in the starting lineup for this next game.
See,
logically, I think you have to put Allen or DeMonte and just go with the smaller lineup.
However, with Io out, you already have either Allen or Feliz in the lineup. So are you going to, like, toss a Tev in there or Kipper?
That's true.
Like, I don't think you should jumble that starting lineup too much, because that unit kind of had some chemistry going.
Yeah, and looking to Rutgers, they have some bigger guards, which sucks that Io's going to be gone.
This might be, like, the Tevion Jones game.
Yeah.
If we need him to break out at some point, it's going to be in a game when the other team has some bigger guards.
Yeah. I would have liked to see Gio Gonzalez versus Io, but we're not going to see that anymore. Or likely won't. I don't know. The timetable for Io is completely up in the air.
Yeah, it hasn't been released in any way, shape, or form yet. But, I mean, he did say on his Twitter, be back soon.
Yeah, so hopefully that means
it's not season-ending, at least, which is a good... Because my biggest fear... Well, I had two biggest fears. my first biggest fear was that it was going to be something huge like an ACL or an MCL, and that Io would not only miss the rest of this season, but also miss his chance to get drafted, and then wouldn't come back until the middle of the season next year and have a really tough time getting drafted.
Yeah.
My other biggest fear was that this injury would keep him out the rest of the year, but he'd still get drafted, and then that was the note in which he left our program. Those are the two things I was just really hoping weren't the case.
Yeah, and, I mean, we can only speculate how long he'll be out, so right. We don't really know what's going on.
True.
But back to this MSU game before we get even into the Rutgers game. Look, you can't get down by that much early. Right. Like, defense was strong there towards the end. They got a bunch of kills. They
went That's on the what, eight. See, I was in Orange Crush, and the beginning of the second half, Illinois finally started scoring, but so was Michigan State. And then I remembered those kills, and I was like, this team could just use some kills. And then they did, and boom, they go on a run.
Right.
So
it's clear that those are the jump starter to the offense, in my opinion. Like, it's clear that when the defense is rolling, if you can get a couple kills in a row, the shots will somewhat start falling, or you'll reel it back in, which coming from behind these last, what, three games, has kind of been important.
Guards were great
yeah.
against Michigan State. Trent played out of his mind against Cassius Winston. He was so good. Io, I know he's going to beat himself up for missing that layup in the last minute of the game, but he had a really good game. Both Alan Griffin and Andres Feliz kept the team in the game. Both those guys really picked up where Georgie and Kofi were lacking and just put some points on the board, added some spark to this team off the bench, both defensively, offensively, and rebound-wise. And as much as free throws killed them in the first half, they went 18 of 18 in the second half. That's how you get back into a game.
Right. So, moving on, let's talk a little bit about Rutgers.
Arguably the hardest place to play in the Big Ten.
Yeah, the rack right now is hot. Look, you're going to need to have a big game from Georgie in this one, too. Like, we're talking about not having him in the lineup, but, like, without Io, you need another couple guys to step up. You think Andres Feliz probably will.
Allen, probably.
And Allen hopefully will. You can't really count on Trent anymore.
See, that's who I'm looking at. I'm looking at Trent. You know he's got that killer offensive mentality in him because we've seen it. We saw it his freshman year. We saw it his sophomore year last year, at least for the first half. He can score. He can be that facilitator that you rely on to put up points. And we've also seen it from Georgie last year. If those guys can come to form a little bit, and I'm not saying Trent hasn't been great because defensively he's been everything they've asked for and more, but just adding a little more offense into his game could make this team look so good even without Io.
I agree. We need Trent to step up more.
For sure.
I'm not sure he's going to deliver at the rack. So if you have to go to somebody else, maybe Georgie, who hasn't delivered at all in the last, what, five?
Right.
Five games?
And then that, maybe. We're kind of expecting Allen and Andres to step up.
Kofi has to have a big game.
Another guy is maybe Tev.
Yeah.
Or Kipper. Somebody taller, you know?
Yeah.
Somebody with some height needs to get in there. And especially if Georgie's not doing it, somebody has to.
Yeah. I think, you know, we're talking ourselves into guys that can step up and fill that role for Io. But the reality is no one's going to fill the role for Io. It's damage control. And I think in terms of damage control, the guys that have to step up are the guy who's been pretty bad of late, Georgie Bajanashvili, and Alan Griffin, who's been red hot.
Yeah, it's Griffin and Feliz that you're hoping to fill his minutes at the one spot and score some points. And then on the court, you're also looking at a Trent or a Georgie or a Kofi to step up and be like that sidekick, you know? But instead of it being a sidekick, it's going to be the leader of this team. Like, every time there's a foul, you see him bring everybody together. Somebody is going to need to step up, and we're going to see who it is.
Well, that's all we have for Rutgers Talk. Moving on, we have a special interview with Aaron Jordan about the basketball team, about his life. So for the 100th episode, we got a pretty big guest for you guys. Here it is.
Now on Oski Talk, we're very honored to be with Aaron Jordan, a former Illini great, I would say, from last year. Aaron, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me. Good to be here.
First and foremost, I want to say congratulations on the engagement.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that.
So, like you just said, you're now moved out to Arizona, but you did serve a kind of hybrid role for the university over the first semester. Tell us about that job.
So I was definitely, I couldn't leave, to be honest with you. Just being around the university was something that meant a lot to me at the time. And, of course, I wanted to finish grad school because that was a big just part of my upbringing is finishing school. And so I was able to talk to Cassie on it, and she, you know, helped me out a lot with the position as a marketing coordinator. So, you know, I was able to still, you know, work in athletics and also finish school.
And what was it like kind of being a part of the game, just a different aspect of it?
Honestly, it was great to see the other side of it. It makes you appreciate things a lot more. The small things that, athletes are busy and they have a lot on their plate, so, you know, sometimes the small things go unnoticed, but the fact that I was able to get on the other side and see everything, you know, I told the people I work with, thank you, you know, for putting up with everything that goes into, you know, planning games or just other events outside of that. So it just really meant a lot.
Do you see a role like that or potentially as an assistant coach or even a coach in your future down the line?
Oh, most definitely down the line. I want to go into athletic administration. I want to be at the high school level just because that means a lot to me. But, you know, long term, I kind of, that this role at the university, you know, helped me determine, you know, what I want to do down the road.
So looking back at your time in an Illini uniform, what do you miss the most?
I miss the arena. When it gets loud, and the fans getting loud, getting hyped. I hear it on TV now. Them selling out the games, you know, the last couple games, that's just amazing. That's what I miss most about it, playing in that environment, something I feed off of. When I did play, so that just means a lot.
And in your career as an Illini, you were one of the only people that got to play for both Coach John Gross and now Brad Underwood. What would you say is the biggest differences in both of their styles? And obviously, I assume you liked playing for both guys.
Yeah, definitely. Both great coaches. Just, you know, Underwood was definitely more intense that time. He expected a lot out of us. He expected a lot out of me. You know, being a senior in my career and being a shooter, he pushed me to levels that I didn't think I was going to be able to get to. And that, you know, ultimately, that led to, you know, having success on the court.
And you played with a lot of great players on a lot of great Illini teams. Who would you say is the best player you got a chance to play with?
The best player? If anybody hear me say this, they're going to start arguing. I'm going to get a whole bunch of phone calls. But it would definitely have to say the Malcolm Hill.
Mm-hmm.
Simply because, I had to guard him in practice, and he was a bucket. He was a very skilled player. He was smart. He was bigger size and used his body. So guarding him, you know, while I'm a freshman and, you know, he's older, I have my work cut out for him.
And when you think about this Illini team, you know, Io DeSumo gets a lot of hype and attention. How does he compare to Malcolm Hill? Because you, like Drew Casey, who we had on the show last week, are some of the only people that got to experience practice against both of those guys.
Right. Definitely both players that can make shots, but something that, you know, a lot of people don't give Io credit for is the leadership that he does have. I saw it in the locker room firsthand, and it was really impressive. You know, coming at a young age, definitely knew that, you know, he wanted to win, he wanted to be successful, but he wanted the people around him, you know, to enjoy it with him. You know, he knew he couldn't do it by himself. So that's why I give him my credit and my respect. You know, I love that kid.
And when you look at last year's team, which you were a major part of, and then this year's team, what are some of the biggest differences you've seen that have kind of somehow made it all come together this season?
You can come together. And that's what the team did. They had a lot of guys who played last year who've been through the fire. And so at some point, you got to start holding each other accountable and just talking to the guys. Now, that's what they said they thought would do. And that was pretty much their only option. You explore all these other options, and the one thing that you don't tap into is holding each other accountable. Why? Because that's something difficult. It's difficult for teams, it's difficult for companies, it's difficult in human nature in general. And once they started doing that, you see it on the court. They're able to trust each other, and that's why you see the success now.
Is it satisfying for you, who was obviously one of the leaders of the team last year, is it satisfying or rewarding in any way to see these guys that you played with and maybe even mentored have some success finally?
Definitely a little satisfying, but, you know, just like they'll tell you, I'm never satisfied. Every game they win, I'm like, good, all right, who's the next opponent? Like, you know, let's get right to it. Sometimes I feel like I'm still in game mode, and I'm like, okay, what's the scouting report? You know, I don't do those, you know. But it's definitely something, you know, that it's dear to my heart. You know, I get emotional seeing those guys out there playing together, guys I came in with. It was just amazing.
Who is somebody that this season you've seen take a really big step from where they were last year?
Yeah, definitely Alan Griffin. And, you know, I saw this in practice, you know, being older and a younger guy, he was somebody who, he stayed on me. You know, he helped me get better because I knew, you know, he wanted to be successful and I wanted to show him, like, hey, you know, there's other things that you can do besides what everybody, you know, says, like, oh, you got to score this, you got to do that, you got to do the small thing. And, you know, so seeing him out there hustling, grabbing those offensive rebounds, I'm like, man, we saw glimpses of it in practice last year, and now that he's, you know, really coming to his own and figuring things out, it's a beautiful thing to watch. You know, I love watching him play.
So this is kind of a question you're probably going to have to think about a little bit, but it's one that fans always like to hear about. Tell us some things about some players on the team that we wouldn't know from just watching them.
Wouldn't know from just watching them. Let's see. Wow. Chipper is an old soul.
Okay.
When it comes to his music taste. Yeah, every song, he'll play something, you'll be like, dude, you weren't even born when this came out. He'll be like, so? I like it. I like to listen to it. Let's see. Now I got to think. Samson, people don't get see a lot of Samson, you know, hear him speak, but he's actually a pretty funny guy. One of the funniest. Definitely somebody I am close to. Same thing with Andres, for Lee. Got, you know, really close with him ever since, you know, he was a recruit. He's a really funny guy. People see him on the court. He's very, very serious. But off the court, you know, that's somebody you just love talking to.
Who would you say is the biggest jokester on the team?
The biggest jokester they'll have had. Oh, that's Georgie, most definitely.
Oh, Georgie.
And people get a little taste of that, you know, while he's playing. So he definitely knows how to entertain. But I took Georgie.
So Illinois is coming off of a few tough losses against Iowa and Maryland, and this interview is actually going to be released after the Michigan State game. So as they head into the stretch of the season and then into the Big Ten Conference Tournament and hopefully the NCAA Tournament, what are your expectations for this team?
Big expectations. They have that for themselves. The coaches have it for them. A lot of our nation has it for them. And I mean, that's about it, really, to be honest. You got to win. And that's what they've shown. And I think that's, you know, you kind of see the edge they have out there. Coming off a two-game loss, I have no doubt that they're going to come out this next game hungry. And, you know, from here on out, we don't call it, it's nothing to freak out about, of course, simply because, you know, they're playing the right way. You know, just got to keep making those extra plays, and they know it's a grind. The guys who've been through it, you know, the veterans, they know it's a long season. You got to work basketball to play.
And when you look back at your career, this is the last question, by the way. When you look back into your career as an Illini, what moments stand out as just some of the best moments? And then give us your favorite moment from wearing an Illini uniform.
Okay, let's see. Some of the best moments was definitely when we played Maryland at home my junior year. That kind of started my hot streak, and I was going through a lot mentally. Just because, you know, didn't feel like I was playing to my potential and what I could do. And so, you know, once I saw a couple shots go in and not go on the top streak, you know, it kind of assured me that, okay, hey, you know, what the coaches are telling me is, you know, they're right. You know, I can do this. I got to have all the confidence in myself. Because, you know, that kind of lit the fire. And then when I went on that streak, you know, that's just something that, that's a memory that just always holds good to me. Also, you know, the Michigan State game, kind of got that game coming up. But winning that game, you know, at home and being able to play in it, I think that's just that hits different. It's a feeling that, you know, I'll remember forever. I blew up a picture of me hugging Monte at the end of the game, simply because, you know, I was crying, but it was like tears of joy because, you know, I wasn't able to experience that beforehand. So experience that now, especially with that group of guys, that's something, you know, I'll get to tell my kids about.
Yeah, those are definitely two great moments in Illini history. We talked to Drew Casey last week. He said that Michigan State moment was tops for him as well. So hopefully it's good for Illinois this time against Michigan State. And
they'll get it done.
Yeah, I think so too. And for now, Aaron, thank you so much for coming on the show. We'd love to have you back again sometime.
Thanks for having me. Just let me know. I'll love to be here.
All right, best of luck in Arizona.
All right, thank you.
Thanks to Aaron Jordan for coming on the show. That was a really cool interview.
Yeah, that was awesome. It's cool to have guys who have had experience with Iowa and this team to kind of, and Brad Underwood for that matter, to kind of tell us what it's like.
And I love, like, with both Drew Casey and Aaron Jordan, I love just both how confident they are in these guys. They know these guys, they love these guys, and they're really just excited for this team to put it all together. You know, if you talk about when this team has, I think the first 10 minutes against Maryland and the last 10 minutes against Michigan State that this team has really put it together. Do that for 40 minutes, nobody can beat this team.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with that. Once again, thanks to Aaron Jordan. For Anthony Pasquale, I'm Patrick Cazzone. Thanks for listening to 100 episodes of Oski Talk, ILL.
I-N-I.